okay that I took my suit coat off?
Yeah.
Thanks, because if you were going to make me put it back on, I'd tell you that I'm melting. It's going one warm day, huh? Yeah, thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm really glad everyone's here today, and some people are missing, but I tell you what, I'm going to come to church whether it's hot or cold. Amen? We should be in church whenever possible. It's vitally important in the hour that we're living. How many watched the news this week, saw what happened in Iran? We've been praying for Israel, for its protection, for its blessing. God, don't you thank God for, whether you like him or you don't like him, President Trump, in his final, on his speech on that last night, closed it with by saying, thank you, God. We love you, God. And thank God for our troops. Thank God for America. I mean, he brought God into it. You think God heard that?
Oh, yeah.
I believe he did. Because I believe God ordained that man to do that, because we are in the final hours as nations are being adjusted the way God wants them. And it takes certain people to do it, and God knows who those people are. And there's a lot of work to do within our nation, should Jesus tarry yet. Politically, we've got a lot of work to do. A lot of things are happening, but it's all the buildup toward the tribulation, whether you want to hear that word or not. But I tell you what, our Lord is on the move. And keep watching. We still got to keep living, right? We need to occupy till he comes, but we are always being aware that things are happening in the world, even as we're here this morning, even over Israel. So we need to keep them in prayer too. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for being with us this day. Your word, Father, as I give it, Lord, anoint the congregation. Open our spiritual ears, our spiritual eyes to see and to hear that your word is a comfort. And Lord, we just right now cast Israel upon you too, Father. And we pray for protection over that nation, over the people, Lord. We pray that your peace and blessing be upon Jerusalem to the Jewish nation. We thank you for that, Lord. Do a work in the United States too, Lord, for you using this nation to accomplish your will throughout the world as well, to take over Israel and even in this nation, that you'll reveal it and that people can see truly what's going on. And Lord, I pray that you'll raise up all your church back into doing what we're supposed to do, to preach the word, to go out into all the world and make disciples, Father. I pray that you'll send revival amongst passing me, Father. Lord, let it happen, Father. Let there be a supernatural move of your hand upon this world, Lord. We know that you're real. We know that you're alive and you're active with expectation in our heart. For you are a loving God, a merciful God, a forgiving God. And Lord, we come to you and thank you and praise you in hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So this morning, there's a lot of people struggling today. Amen? A lot of things are happening. There's something in the struggle. There's something in the struggle. How many like to struggle? Oh, hands? Maybe you will when I'm done preaching this. Maybe you'll say, I love struggling. I don't know. But anyway, that's the message, because I began to realize that in this world that he is aware of everyone, every single human being in the world, every struggle everyone is going through, God is aware of every. And life is a journey. Wouldn't you say that? It's a journey. And can be really face hard times when things feel overwhelming. And we might wonder why we have to go through such struggles. We call out to God and say, why, God? Why do I have to go? God does know. But, I wanted to insert this in my thoughts too here. Sometimes we create our own struggles. Amen? If we obey the word of God and we do what God says, we can evade some struggles in life. But faith doesn't always take you out of the struggle. Faith takes you through it. And there's a reason for that. Thomas Paine said, the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. It can lead to personal growth and spiritual maturity, and they often refine us and draw us closer to our faith when we go into struggles. So many life, they want everything without effort, especially in this world we live today, huh? We don't want to have to work. Don't want to have to do searches. There's work that's got to be done. People say, we need to do this, we need to do that. Where are you? Amen? It takes struggle. It takes, you know, to help you kind of pull it together. It's a man found a cocoon of a butterfly. One day a small opening appeared. He struggled to force its body through that little hole. Then it seemed to stop making any progress. It appeared as if it had gotten as far. Then the man decided to help the butterfly, so he took a pair of scissors and snipped off the remaining bit of the cocoon. The butterfly then emerged small, shriveled wings. The man continued to watch the butterfly because he expected that at any moment the wings would enlarge and expand time. Neither happened. In fact, the butterfly spent the rest of his life crawling around with a swollen body and shriveled wings. It was never an in his kindness and haste. Did not understand was that the restricting cocoon and the struggle required for the butterfly sing fluid from the body of the butterfly into its wings so that it could be ready for flight once it achieved its freedom from the cocoon. Struggle for that butterfly in order to be the butterfly to fly. Sometimes struggles are exactly what we need in our life, whether we like them. Without struggles, it would cripple us. I've seen people that are crippled that seem like they never have a problem, never have a struggle because they live in such a lifestyle or whatever where every cripples really. The least little problem come in their life, they'll fall apart. But see, struggles are doing something in your and my life. We would not learn to fly as God intended us to do. There are certain struggles that are directly tied to our ultimate identity in Christ we need to ask ourselves. What part of you are willing to commit to your faith? What are you willing to give up? But realize you have probably already. How much are you willing to give up for the Lord? How much struggling are you willing to do for the cause of Christ and to sacrifice things in your life? You look at him and you say, man, I'd sure like to have a home like that. You ever think about it? But you know something? You can. Did you know that? You can have it. Is all you need to do is go to school for 15 years. That's all you need that. There was struggle to get to where that doctor was able to buy that home. And how about the young man walking through the mall? Looks like his muscles are going to burst out and say, man, I'd like to have muscles like that. I kind of do, but I mean, man, you guys like to say, I'd like to have muscles like that. You can if you go to the gym fighting to fall off. You can have muscles like that. But it takes struggle. Or we see the entrepreneur starting a business or an organization, business like that person. But you realize to become that entrepreneur that man or woman invested many hours, invested their life in hours and hours and hours, sacrificing many things in their life to make a successful business. But most people aren't willing to do that. That have successful ministries. Their successful ministry said, I want to have a ministry like that. And they think it's so easy. But did you know that what we see here on Sunday mornings, we see our little draw and the singers. Do you think that just happens? Struggle maybe to be able to get here. Take struggle even when they might not feel like doing it. It takes struggle to practice. It takes the time and effort to put together. It isn't something you just walk up and say, hey, I want a church just like that. Or the preacher. Do you think that these things just come to me like that? Whether you each week to get a message ready. And I got to sacrifice doing certain things because of that. And I'm not complaining one bit because I chose when God called me to do it. And I love it. Many times those struggles have a purpose for you and I to perfect things in our life. Many believers that now God is supposed to give them everything that they've ever dreamed of without any effort or work or discipline on their part. But that isn't the real kingdom of God. Seek. There's the key word, seek. You got to put something into it. And then work out your own salvation, Philippians 2:12. When seek is in the Bible and other things that we have to put effort into it to make it happen. We don't work our way to heaven. We work out the salvation that God has given us. Obey this word. It takes work. You got to make it may be a sacrifice in some areas, but you have to work it out in order to perfect what struggle many times for people. But we need to realize the fact is it costs what it costs, and it never goes on sale. Ever. Prosper, he wants to bless you, but sometimes you must struggle, and sometimes you and I have to fight. Amen? Yeah. We got to fight. We need to do it for the Lord. There's something in the struggle that is necessary to becoming what God has ordained us to be. Listen to Numbers chapter 4. This is a good message that the Lord put in here for a reason. And it says, and now you got to listen. Now. Open up your spiritual ears and listen now. Where we get kind of lazy. Get sleepy. Huh? We got to listen. Okay. This is where the word. See, my word. They returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel. Word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whether thou sent us the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong and that dwell in that land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. Did you step in? But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in our midst saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And sight is grasshoppers. And so were in their sight. That was a very negative report, wasn't it? Those guys weren't planning to go into the land of milk and honey. Caleb knew it. See, I believe God left the giants in the promised land on purpose. He left them there on purpose. Many times to struggle through to gain the victory. Because the people needed to learn how to fight. Christians need to learn how to fight. And I'm not talking in a negative tone spoke of. I fought the good fight of faith. And there's many Christians who don't fight. We give in to the struggle. We let the struggle take us over quickly. We begin talking about the negative. Didn't do that, did that. We've got all kinds of excuses rather than fight according to the way God says to fight with faith. And we need to learn to be our own spirit against thoughts that come into our mind. Because, see, this is the battleground up here. This is where the devil does his work up here. He's powerless, really good at deception and speaking deception. And this is where we either make it or we break it right up here. And the devil knows it. And he'll let us see the negative things, them, or we can go to the Word of God. And whose report are we going to believe? I believe the report of the Lord. And it takes work to keep your faith in action. Hard struggles in some people's lives. But we need to encourage one another. That's why it takes sometimes struggle to come to church. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, is here with us today and uses you and I to encourage one another. Amen?
Yeah.
And we need to be faithful to the God. Be here for the Lord so that He can use your life. Using your life when you allow Him to. Even in the middle of your struggle, that's what happens. See, giants distinguish the difference between a professor and a possessor. We need to ask ourselves, are we truly a possessor? The giant, no. The demons, no. And we need to answer that for ourselves. It's one thing to confess the promises of God, to go toe-to-toe with your giants and possess your promise. You got your armor on today? You need to keep that armor on. Even when it's hot like this, 24 hours a day, if you are truly a born-again Christian, because you and I do not know that any moment a struggle can come in or a trial into our life, and we need to be victorious. Because guess what? we are going to win. We are going to win this fight as long as we stay close to our crowd. Grasshoppers usually blend into their environment, but giants uncover them. Remember that, grasshoppers, you will never have it if you see yourself as a grasshopper. What can I do? I'm just a grasshopper. Life is too big out there for me. I can't handle it. All those are to come. If you look at yourself and you confess that's exactly what you're going to get. But if you begin to say that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and he that is in the world, you will have victory. God is my helper in the time of trouble. He will never leave me nor forsake me. I don't know how this thing is going to come out, but you get to know yourself in struggles, people. Amen. You get to know a little bit about yourself. The real you comes out under pressure. Life when the pressure flows. How do you respond to whatever struggle or problem comes at you? Do you give up? Do you complain? Do you murmur? Or do you give in to fear? Those are the things you're going to find out about yourself when struggles come into your life. And we need to remember that. Under pressure, under struggle, you have many opportunities during struggle. You get to know your God. You realize that when God is all you've got, he's all you need. It's going to be by the grace of God, I'm going to get through this thing right now. It may even be a time of boredom. You're bored with life. All you need is God. And you say, well, I tried God. Well, that's your problem. He's not a used car. You don't try God. You don't try Jesus. That's when he begins to move. If you've ever been on the mission field especially, and you say, I've never ever experienced God doing a supernatural work in my life, go out into the streets of Minneapolis right now and start to witness and watch your mighty God. He's there. And when you really need him, he's in Russia, Ukraine, working with the missionaries. How God showed up in times when we thought we're done here. Took our visas, our passports. We could have been lost. God did. Amen. Every single time. Because we need God. Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge. Are you in trouble today? Are you in a struggle today? He's here today. You don't have to feel him. The Bible says we walk by faith. We know he's here. The feelings. Well, you know, the feelings will come. It's better felt than telt, I know. But I tell you, the feelings will come, but it allows you and I to walk through struggles, to walk it by faith, which is, we don't understand it at that time. But many times that is building our strength and our faith to become so strong that the next time a struggle stand that you are able to become victorious over it because God all along has been with you and has been taking you through the struggles of life. You know, it doesn't do and everything. And I know hardships of life. I've been through them, my wife and I, and different things in our life, too. It takes work. It's hard to do. But we're finding out that when you bring else, it doesn't make any difference. Whatever that struggle is, God's going to get you through it. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about Jesus. Because it's work. Hallelujah. See, you get stronger. You put down roots. You dig into the word and prayer. You become aware of the excess and unnecessary through a struggle. And one thing, as I said, you get stronger when you get into prayer, which many, many Christians lack. They don't pray. Emotion sometimes, rather than going to a loving God and saying, God, I need your help today. I'm really dealing with depression in my life right now. The power, the ability to change that. But I know you do, and I'm going to put my trust in you, right? See, we go to him and we talk to him just like we do each other's. He listens. He even puts your tears in a little bottle, and one day he may bring that little bottle out in eternity to you and say, here's what every tear you ever cried means. Here it is right here. The struggle produces thankfulness. How many have heard about all the tornadoes hit in North Dakota this week? Some people lost their own. But you know, if you listen to their testimonies in the middle of that, you know, I don't care about all the material things. I don't care about all the things that I've, my family's still alive. That's being thankful. Amen. Because guess what? God can replace all those things. Yeah. If you're in a struggle, just say, Lord, thank you that you're with me during this time. Thank you. Struggles test your level of commitment. You find out how committed you are to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people are very wishy-washy, compromising in their Christian walk, and then when struggles hit, they find out they weren't. They just thought everything is que sera, que sera. Not realize that you and I need to put effort into it. We need to fellowship. We need brothers and sisters. We need to pray. We need to do things. We need to be involved. We need to volunteer. All those things can be a struggle in our life too, but we do it out of sacrifice. Sanity working. The struggle qualifies you to rest, by the way. Think about that. It qualifies you to rest. Matthew 11:28. Come on, rest. Too many aren't going to Jesus. They're in their struggles. They're fighting. They're trying to stay above the water, fight off everything else. It is all they need to rep on him, for he cares for you. And you will find out that that struggle will become a lot easier, and you will find the rest that you need at the time you need it. And I have to turn them into reality. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Let us labor. That word labor there means diligent. Therefore, to enter into that rule of unbelief, which many do. They get themselves in a struggle because they haven't been doing what they should have been doing. And they're overwhelmed by a struggle. And then all of a sudden they start to show up. Why did you let this happen to me? And God is saying, I was there. Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And nothing, even if it seems like a tragedy, people lost loved ones in car accidents, cry out, say, why God, you could have stopped it. We're in a fallen world, people, kind. And God was there. He is there. But see, what looked like a tragedy, from God's perspective, he was excited to have that person. Remember, it takes work to draw close to the Lord. The struggle also qualifies you for the rewards. David heard them speak of a reward, but he knew the reward. That's the only one the reward is for. 1 Samuel 17:25. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him a daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. The army of Israel, all frightened of Goliath, all thinking he's a giant. We can't beat him. We can't touch him. He'll wipe us out. Here comes King David. God. How many get upset when you hear people mocking God? I do. But King David got mad. And see, he was looking at it. He was looking at that struggle because way than the army did. They all saw defeat. David saw victory. Because he knew why? He knew God. A man after God's own heart. He knew God's story. And we should understand that many times the struggle, the fight, the warfare, the praying, the waiting patiently, the enduring is as important as the blessing and the reward. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. While we are looking at development that is taking place through the struggle, God is looking. And when we're in the middle of struggle, he sees our emotions. He sees our attitude. He sees it all. And he wants to work out the bad stuff in us. He wants us to come to him. And he wants to see his Holy Spirit that lives within us beginning to work in those areas instead of flying off the handle and making decisions that we should be going to him. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations and patience experience and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. All these things in our life. They're doing those things, whether we feel it or not. God wants to work patience out. If you don't have any patience, you got some work to do. Some work to do. But God is on the work, on the move, doing work within us in every struggle. And it's clear from this that Christians are expected struggles and tribulations in this world. You can see and read that throughout all of Scripture. Many of the great men and women of God have gone through all of them, end up victorious, that are making God their hope, their refuge. That's why God put them in there, to realize that they went. God didn't have to. He put the death, he put the torture, he put the abuse, he put it all within the Word, and he showed how he worked it out. Even Brother Paul, who killed Christ, going to hell. You never say that, because you never know. God's doing a work. But look what happened to Brother Paul when he got born again. And he had trials after trial after trial, shipwreck times, all kinds of stuff happened in his life. Those were struggles. He cried out to God, God, if you can't take these from me, that he was making a man that was going to live with him for eternity, that he's going to be a victorious man. And that's what he's doing in you and I too, in the middle of our struggles. I don't believe that Paul had a problem with eyesight. I think God listed it out right in front of us. Paul wanted to escape these struggles. He was getting with you. I'm going to get you through them. But I'm making a real man of God out of you. Philippians 1:29. It says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also 4:13, but rejoice, and as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with him. That's what he's doing. His future plan for you and I, even the suffering that we're experiencing, to be compared with what's going to be coming when we end up with him. There's going to be exceeding joy, and you're going to look at God. I believe this is Lynn theory, with total understanding why we were where we were at and why he may have permitted things. God does not create evil and do evil to us, but anger, to get rid of the bitterness, to get rid of the forgiveness, unforgiveness. I mean, he does work in our hearts to clean us up in the furnace of adversity. The first generation children of Israel forfeited their inheritance because they would not fight for it. And it's sad today, their destiny, their promise, just because they refused to fight. When the heat was on, they bailed out. They conceded to the enemy, even like within the church. We have issues in churches, don't we? We're all people here. We're all different personalities, different men. We don't agree with everything that's happening in the church. But if we're going to grow spiritually and maturely, we learn to take it to God. Take the preacher to God. Take the people to God. Take the Sunday school and quit your complaining and murmuring and griping and creating your own struggle. Do you know there's so many people today that are out here that never darken a wall of a church? But God didn't tell us to look at people, did he? He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus when you're in the middle of a struggle. Like, whatever, don't be a baby and whine and cry. Go to Jesus. That's what we're to do. We pray one for another. If we know even people were, because sometimes I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes you have people in the church you just don't like. Them. I say that repeatedly because that's the truth. You don't have to like everybody, but we need to love everybody. When you love somebody, even if you don't like them, and you see, I don't like them, but I want to see them get through this thing. That means God's doing a work in you when you get to that point. Please, just wave it back and forth. Now do the other one. Just do it. Now do it a little faster. Thank you. I felt the breeze coming. It was good. If everything was going smoothly, they were right. They're shouting with the rest of the army, fear and doubt. Luke 9:62 says, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Temptations, even moments of doubt, that makes you want to give up, doesn't it? We've all been there. But the act of keeping your hand on the plow reminds you that you got to keep your eye. You got to keep going straight. When I used to plow, when I was did my first plow, my uncle one time, I was looking all around like this here, heading with the plow behind me. And I'd see something. I'd be looking around. Pretty soon I got to the end, and I looked at the windrow back there. I had to keep my eye focused on what I was doing. It helps build resilience. It deepens your faith. It keeps you aligned with purpose because distraction is straight. Paul reminds us even his afflictions that I mentioned. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is eating an external weight of glory, That means compared to eternal glory, the struggle that God permits us to go through is nothing. And he wants to help us through it because he knows there's struggles in your life you can look back on that you no longer have, that no longer there. They passed away. But you stay faithful to God. The next one that comes along, you learn to trust him. You speak God's words, not the devil's words. God's moved by his words. He's not moved by the devil's words. I was listening to a preacher this week that was out there, and he was casting a beach with that stupid demon. I put a comment to him, and I said, Jesus never conversed with demons, never carried conversations on. Don't talk to demons. You think you're going to get the truth? They create their own struggles. That's why people need to be in the Word of God. Don't listen to your preacher. Read your own Bibles. If you will be truthful this morning, what has made you what you are according to Scripture? Those that have walked through many struggles, you're here today, watching by social media, you're still listening, you've gone through struggles. He cares. What you had to fight for, what you had to fight against, what you had to metamorphosis through which it changes from an earthbound crawly worm into a beautiful butterfly. God wants you and I to be beautiful butterflies. But struggle. We've got to go through life, through that journey, the tough things that we soon not do it, but we have to do it. But struggle. To cut the struggle short would rob the butterfly of his destiny. You remember my story. That guy, if he left that butterfly alone, that would have been a beautiful butterfly. That's why people, when you go through struggles, don't go to the world. Don't go to booze. Don't go to sippers. Don't go to whiners, complainers, murmurs. Like the song we sung this morning, tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. The baby chick, by the way, in the egg goes through a process of growth inside of the egg until it begins to outgrow the egg. But it must peck its way out as a baby chick and prepares it for a lifelong life outside the egg. God had a purpose for that little guy. To cut the struggle short would severely injure, if not kill, that chick. Through the struggle, it gains the strength it needs to survive. And in verses 23 through 24, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in the way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly cast down. 31, it says, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. We got to do it God's way. It qualifies you to help others. It should anyway. It qualifies. When you go through something, you can help. God has brought you through it, and now you see someone else experiencing similar things, and you can go to him and say, there's victory. There's hope. Maybe you have whatever. You go to Jesus. He delivers you. He helps you. He changes the circumstances. Maybe whatever the answer is, God knows it. And then when you can do it with positive attitude like that, they're going to believe you. But if you go to him and say, well, I tried, God didn't work. Maybe we can try. Doesn't that make you just your faith just want to grow? No. You got to look at him and say, God cares about you. But I can guarantee you this, according to the word of God, that you are going to be more than a conqueror. You will be a victorious person. And conquered your giants, you are qualified to help someone else through their battles. You know, I walked through a lot long years with Sue. Didn't know it back then when I went into it, but I fought like crazy, struggled a lot. A lot of me deliverance through it when I find people that had, I could explain to them exactly what they're going through. And I knew what they needed to do in order to get victory. One thing that has really helped me, people, am I going to be able to help and encourage because of what I've been going through? See, when we want to think God thoughts, you want to be in ministry. Say, Lord, this struggle that I'm going through, it looks like it might defeat me, but I know it won't. And then when you get through it, start finding other people that are going through struggles. Lead them to Jesus. Hallelujah. The devil wants to make it all about you. That's what the devil wants. He wants us to look at us, how I've been hurt, how I've been abused, how I've been offended. I didn't, or it's all about me. That's where the devil wants you and I to stay. And because of that, many people struggle through life harder than ever because nobody loves me. Nobody says hi to me when I walk into the church. Well, maybe you need to walk up to somebody and say hi to them. There's all kinds of things in life, but if we put God in the equation, God's going to do great work in them. But God, He wants you to realize that even though the devil sent it to take you out, God is going to use it to take you up. Somebody else get up. And that's the importance. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I'm getting close to done again here. Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves bringing you into a place of greater influence in your walk with Him. Because the power of the Holy Spirit in you, as God comforts you, you'll go to somebody else in faith when you bless them, your brothers and your sisters in the Lord. We can either not care or we can pray for people. That's why we have our prayer site. We have our prayer in the there. We prayer is a purpose for that. We're looking for people that we can pray for, that we can encourage. There's many, many cards, other things that we pray for in this congregation. Some of you know about, some of you don't know anything about it, but there's people that are going through struggles. And we have the power through 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, meaning comfort, also abounds by Christ, your comfort and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether be comforted, for there's a lot there, a lot of comforts in there. But I tell you what, it's an important word that God's telling us right here. Yes, I may be going through a struggle, but I'm growing through the struggle. Did you? Growing through the struggle. You need to grow through them. You got to not stop in a struggle and accuse people. Look, somebody else's problem. It was that. It was the neighborhood I lived in. And what we got to quit doing that and learn if there's a struggle, we go to God. You and become mature in your walk. I'm developing some spiritual muscles. I'm developing some compassion. I'm developing, sounds like? It sounds like the fruit of the Spirit. That's what God and ultimately is working in every one of us, is the fruit of the Spirit to become struggles. The Lord is growing fruit in us. I'm more patient than I used to be. I mean, as a dumb God for patience. Patience. And then after we went through some struggles, the preacher finally told us, preached a message on never. Life has a way of doing that on itself. Yeah. We found that out. And we're still working on it. Nobody ever arrived right away from it. But I'm developing the ability to put myself in a position where others are and to feel what they feel so I can speak. Verses 2 through 4. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We should be looking. Our problem is self-centeredness. Paul is urging us to be lowly-minded, seeking the good of others and not concerned with ourselves. God will take care of my business or yours. Pray, Lord, help me. Not to get out, but to not deliver Daniel from the lion's den. He delivered him through it. Amen? God did not deliver the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. He delivered them through it. The children of Israel needed the giants. The three Hebrew children needed the fiery furnace. And Samson needed the Philistines. Struggle, James chapter 1, 2, and 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Why are we encouraged to find joy in our trials and struggles? You and I don't realize that our Heavenly Father, when we are entering a struggle or in a struggle, are coming out. He has accomplished something, or he's trying you for faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He said, I don't want anything. We need to get to that point. Then we won't be so focused on ourselves. It's all about me. It's all about me. Trials and struggles teaching us to persevere. There is no testimony without a test, and no victory without a battle. A victorious life is not a problem-free life. It's by virtue of struggle and fight. So in conclusion, there's a lot more in struggling too. Every one of my messages, there's always a lot more to it, but I got to cut it off. Cherish. I chose for life partner. She said, so be it. People, listen. You by media, you in here today that I know go through struggles, and we pray for you all. Hard for you. But listen, the struggles don't last forever. Some of them are long and they're hard and they're strong. They endure for the night, but joy's going to come in the morning.
Yes.
The struggle is an instrument, the transition, what God's doing in us. The struggle means you are on your way to something. The devil wouldn't fight you if you were not going somewhere. He knows the potential that you are in God's kingdom. The struggle prepares. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, as I close with these last two scriptures. Wherein ye greatly rejoice in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, hearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Job 23:10, it says, but he knoweth the way that I take. God knows your path. Job, if you know the story, the man, the struggle, he cried out, but here he tried me. Some of us need to cry that out. God knows the way I'm going right now. He's trying me. Let's all stand. God's after that you'll be a man of God, a woman of God, a child of God. I'm going to pray this morning. I'm not going to have you come. But I just believe this message is, I just want to say again a prayer over this conference. Because I believe in the days ahead, should Jesus tarry, big things are going to happen in the world. And big things are going to happen in churches like this all around our country. Those that are backslidden, who are not obeying the word of God, won't know what's happening. But I believe Bible churches with pastors that are faithful all around this country and the world. Lives. The prayers and all the sacrifice and all the dedication to being trusting God, the fruit of it is going to come forth within a moment. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, you know the path that each one of us take. You see the struggle, every diverse struggle that each one of us walk, things we fight against, things we do what we don't want to do, and we don't do what we should do. That's a struggle. Father, that your Holy Spirit come up on this congregation, upon those watching, and you begin to do a supernatural work, that we will begin to see a supernatural move. People will be healed. People will be delivered. People will be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. People will become victorious in their thinking, being bound by pornography and evil thoughts of every sort and every type, every witchcraft. Attack, for no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And Lord, I speak the blood of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over every person in you, for each one of them, and I lift them all up, Lord, and I know that they will become forth victorious as they draw close to you. And I praise us, and everybody said, amen. Amen. May you have a blessed day today, and have some good fellowship on the way out, and shake some, or you don't, you're important. Shake hands with somebody you don't know. I did that this morning. Yeah.